It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest names in the business are on You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos.
Hey, this is Joe Buck, and you have done it. You have found it. You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT, and I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet, with the most handsome single man in the radio business. A man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself the kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports, brought to you by BetMGM.
The wonderful Football Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, our crew, and whoever the hell you are, here on Westwood One Sports. First hour of the show devoted to Mike Tomlin stepping down as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Why I think this is a win-win for everybody. For Tomlin, for the Steelers, and for us as sports fans, because by all accounts, he's going to Fox, and he is going to be sensational on television. And love the interview to end the hour with Danny Parkins from First Things First on Fox Sports 1. The emotion of sports fans. Danny, lifelong fan of the Chicago Bears, being at the game on Saturday night at Soldier Field as his team, exercising the demons in green and yellow. Job not done for the Bears, and I think the Rams will beat them coming up on Sunday at Soldier Field. But what an experience that was, and loved hearing Danny recount it for us here on this Wednesday on You Better You Bet. Later this hour, we will talk about Kevin Petullo being fired by the Philadelphia Eagles and why that is just a half measure for Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni. More work to be done to improve things for Philadelphia heading into next season. And we'll also touch on this piece of news coming down moments ago from Jordan Renan of ESPN, that former Ravens head coach John Harbaugh meeting in person today with my New York football Giants. So that's all coming up a little later in the show. Adam Lefko next hour from Turner Sports. But joining us right now, and I said it in the first hour, I've gotten a lot of notes from longtime listeners and fans like, hey, when are you going to get this person back on the show? Are you going to do this on the show? And I think we have largely checked off a lot of those boxes. I think the biggest one might be this one. I have gotten so many Instagram messages, tweets, texts. When is Drew Dinsick, when is the Whale Capper going to be back on You Better You Bet? I swear on my daughter I'm not making this up. Because Drew's here listening to me say this right now. I'm not saying this to gas him up. Joining us back here on the show, NBC sports betting analyst, co-host of the Deep Dive Pod, and if you've never heard, Drew has some of the best information out there, breaking down games, specifically the NFL and the NBA. I love it. On social media, at @whale_capper. My friend, welcome back to the show. Thanks for waking up early, Drew, on the West Coast. And happy divisional round of the NFL playoffs, my friend, to you and yours.
Oh, yeah, man. Dude, this is crazy time in sports. There's so much going on in the NFL right now. The NBA is hot. Australian Open's about to kick off. Olympics are around the corner. I have a lot of Olympic handicapping to catch up on. I don't think I'm going to sleep for the rest of January.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely love it. And only, I actually saw our mutual friend Ken Barkley reply to a tweet you made over the last couple of days. Like, this is such a you reply, meaning to Drew. Only Drew would toss out the Olympics and the Australian Open here with heading into division. And I mean that as a compliment, heading into the divisional weekend of the NFL playoffs. So here's what I'd love to do. And for the audience right now, because we have a bigger audience now here on Westwood One Sports. So people are listening to the show that haven't heard you before, watching the show that haven't heard you before. So Drew, as I've said, has some of the best information out there. I want to hit all four playoff games this weekend, get your handicaps, who you think's going to win, cover the spread, go over, under the total, etc. And then we'll talk some NBA as well, maybe some coaching stuff in the NFL if time permits. So let's go in chronological order. And let's start on Saturday, Drew, with the Broncos and the Bills in Denver, where at BetMGM, pick 'em price of the game, total of 46. I'm going to bet the Buffalo Bills. I have no idea who you like in the game. What do you think we see with the Bills and the Broncos?
I took a shot on the Broncos before it flipped favorite, which I agree. The current price, we're getting pretty close to my fair here. I think the Bills are, they're certainly the higher ceiling team because Josh Allen is the best quarterback remaining in the playoffs. However, what Denver's kind of advantage in here is, and what the market I think is slowly realizing, is that the rest and the home field advantage in this spot is worth at least 2.5, maybe 3 points. Buffalo coming in with a myriad of injuries that all kind of matter. They're effectively down to so little talent in the wide receiver room that I would expect that they come in with a pretty heavy package plan as far as offensive game planning goes. A lot of 12, maybe even some 13 personnel from them. We'll see. They are that lean at wide receiver right now. Denver's defense obviously can rush the passer extremely well. And honestly, I can't fault anyone for betting on Buffalo here and just trying to ride the Josh Allen ride as long as it exists, because it's a very fun ride to be on. I was against Buffalo last week, and at no point during the game did I ever feel like the lead for the Jags was safe. I think that just in general, having him in your corner is obviously a good thing. That said, this is a brutal spot for them. I turning around and traveling for the second consecutive week with this many injuries, and going up against a very healthy squad that is at full strength coming off the bye is just brutal. So if this was a completely neutral game in a neutral setting, I'd probably have a very different opinion. But with the injuries and with the rest advantage, I went Denver.
So with all that being said, Drew, I'm guessing if you think that, then a lot of smart people, a lot of people with influence in the betting market probably agree with you. And this is a strict betting question, right? So people like me, like the Buffalo Bills, think Josh Allen's going to lead them to victory in this game. Is it your anticipation that as we approach kickoff on Saturday, that the market will move up towards Denver, that Denver will close a bigger, will close a favorite, get into the two? I don't think it will ever be three, obviously. But do you think Denver is going to get bet? And I'm asking this for people out there listening and watching. If you like Buffalo, should people wait to bet the Bills in your estimation?
Yeah, I think in general, the cold sides from last week that won are going to be cold again. That includes Buffalo. You had a pretty aggressive support for Jacksonville into the close on Sunday last week. I would think you get pretty aggressive support for Denver into the close this week. And again, like, I don't love Denver. I begrudgingly respect Sean Payton. I think their defense is probably a little overrated by the market. It's good. It's not like all universe. Their greatest strength might be Patrick Surtain, who's going to wipe out wide receiver four on a normal team for this Buffalo squad. Like, it's not clear that, most of their advantages are advantages. I don't like Bo Nix really at all, but if I want to say anything positive about Bo Nix, I guess I could say at least he doesn't like put the ball in harm's way. Like Trevor Lawrence puts the ball in harm's way, which is one of the reasons that game never really felt especially comfortable being on the Jags. But I would be a little bit surprised if Bo Nix is loosey-goosey turnover, playing turnover football here, just because when he is usually throwing downfield, he is putting it in a place where it is tough for his own receiver to make the play on the ball, let alone the defense. And so I think in general, Denver gets this done on the ground, really, really push their advantage in terms of their offensive line and their strength and their size and win in the trenches on both sides. And, if Buffalo wins this game, I'm not going to be surprised, and I'm probably going to be mad at myself for lining up and betting on Bo Nix and Sean Payton.
Drew Dinsick, the Whale Capper, with us here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports, NBC Sports Betting Analyst Deep Dive Podcast. For those interested, check it out with Drew and Andy Molitor. Great sports betting podcast on Twitter at Whale_Capper. Saturday night game, my friend, in your neck of the woods on the West Coast, with the Seahawks a 7.5-point home favorite against the San Francisco 49ers. Now, we may see this drop back down to 7 at BetMGM. It's a juiced 7.5 towards the Niners. But one way or another, like betting market thinks Seattle wins this one fairly easily. Total in the game is 45. Do you see it that way? Because it'll be 2 weeks to the day that Seattle went into San Francisco and stuffed the Niners in a locker to win the NFC West and claim home field advantage. What do you like, Niners and Seahawks Saturday night?
Yeah, this is another one where I think the market was a little slow on the uptick on how valuable the buy was. Obviously, Niners coming in on a short week. This has been broadly publicized, so this shouldn't catch anyone by surprise. The market knows that the Niners only have 6 days rest here. The market also knows that the Niners are broadly injured. But the matchup that I think makes me the most excited for Seattle here is the fact that the Niners really are not generating much of a pass rush at all. If I'm going to poke any holes in the case of Seattle being a legitimate contender to win the Super Bowl. It's that Sam Darnold, when he's under pressure, particularly up the middle, turns into an absolute pumpkin. We've seen it time and again last year at the end of this at the death, and then this year when Seattle kind of went through their malaise in the third quarter of the season. And I, you know, if Niners could manifest a pass rush in this one, then maybe this is an interesting game. I don't think they can, and so I don't know that it will be. Ultimately, Seattle's coming in pretty, you know, pretty outstanding health. A lot of the injuries that I think handicapped their offense on the offensive line in the second half of the season seem to be improving. They think they're going to be effectively at full strength. Their running game all of a sudden found legs in the final quarter of the season. And in general, if you rewatch that week 18 contest, 13-3 flatters the Niners. That probably should have been like 24-6, 24-10, maybe. Seattle left a lot of points on the field. So I think in general, Seattle's going to get their, you know, get their points in this one. And it's really going to be up to Brock Purdy to throw the Niners back into this contest. If you don't know what the strength of Seattle's defense is, it is their running defense. It is absolutely, it's like borderline historic how good they are at stopping the run. Christian McCaffrey has been a box score darling this year, but he ultimately has not been especially efficient. Just running the football. It's mostly he's been a pass catcher for them. So this is going to be on Brock Purdy's arm. Brock Purdy's probably going to throw a couple picks in this one. I have a very tough time seeing what the path to victory is for San Francisco here, and I don't mind laying Seattle at this price point in general. I talked a little about some of our sharp friends about this, just trying to make the red team case here, see if I was missing anything obvious. And it's like, Shanahan's a wizard. He has masterful offensive, game planning and strategy and schematics. And for what it's worth, if he had the answer for Mike McDonald's defense, you know when we would have seen it? 2 weeks ago. You know when we didn't see it? 2 weeks ago. So I cannot imagine that he has like some tricks up his sleeve that he was saving in case he ran into these guys in the playoffs. Like that's just not, rational to me. So I think Shanahan's in trouble. I think the Niners are going home.
Drew Densick with us on the show at @whale_capper on Twitter. One of the sharpest guys out there breaking down sports and sports betting in the media. Okay, so Seattle in the late game, Denver in the early game, the 2-1 seeds with home field advantage to advance to Championship Sunday. Let's go to Sunday now, Sunday of the divisional round, and we were talking off air. And great job by you, buddy, because I feel like a lot of people that talk about betting in the media like me and put their money down had the Chargers on Sunday night and the Steelers on Monday night and lost both those wagers. I certainly did. You had the Patriots on Sunday night and the Texans on Monday night. So credit to you for that, because I think a lot of people went 0-2 and you went 2-0. And now we get those two teams that won those games, New England hosting Houston on Sunday. New England is a 3-point home favorite. This might go up to 3.5, which I think is fascinating, given how good this Houston defense is, the way they swarmed on Monday night and just dominated Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. Total of the game is 41. Your expectations for the Texans and the Patriots on Sunday?
Yeah, this one is the hardest game of the week. I got to choose between my darlings. The tricky part here for me to square is the fact that we had some, it wasn't liquid pools open in the look ahead markets, right? But we had some look ahead lines last week that had New England -1.5. And now we see the outcome of these games. Houston's defense looks all universe. They lose Nico Collins, but to see this now threatening 3.5 is pretty surprising. I get it. New England in general matches up well, in my opinion, against the Houston Texans defense, which is a little bit of a lopsided strength. The Houston Texans are able to rush the passer with 4. They're going to get pressure on Drake May all day long. They are going to sack Drake May. Houston does have an affinity for giving up home runs. If you can pick the right times to take some shots against them, you can beat them over the top because they have a very aggressive secondary. And the teams that have been able to succeed against Houston's defense over the balance of the season largely did it at home. And they did it with a quarterback who could overcome giving up sacks, because you're not going to solve that. You're going to, Drake May is going to get sacked 6 times in this game. That said, kind of the rubric of they are at home, They are able to overcome sacks over the balance of the season. They are able to hit home runs. All of that is enough signal for me to say that New England is going to score into the 20s here. And then the question about, you know, New England covering comes down to, is New England's defense as good as what we saw last week, or was that entirely, another, playoff pumpkin out of Justin Herbert, augmented obviously by the fact that he doesn't have great weapons and his offensive line is, zeroth percentile. I think New England's defense is good, not great. And I think CJ Stroud and Houston can score. If you could get a cheap three on the Patriots, go back in time and make that bet. I think it's a good bet at this current price point where you're laying a pretty significant juice to bet Patriots -3. It would be a pass for me. And I'm going to take a swing on the over at this price because, again, like, I think the Patriots are going to score enough to put pressure on Houston. And I'm fine with the kind of backing CJ Stroud, hoping that he got some of the yips out on Monday Night Football and he's going to be able to, to avoid some of the key mistakes here and at least score into the high teens, if not the 20s. So fair total for me on this one is closer to 44, 43.5, 44. Wow. So I like the over.
Yeah, and if CJ Stroud makes the type of mistakes this Sunday that he did on Monday night against the Steelers, the Patriots are gonna beat the Texans like they did in the Letterman game 15 years ago. That's what that's gonna be. That was not bad. You have to think that CJ Stroud's gonna come out and play better. I think I bet the Texans in that game. Anyway, it's been betting for a long time. Last one here for divisional weekend. Rams at the Bears. LA, a 3.5 or a 4-point road favorite. Total of the game is 49. I think, Drew, I like Buffalo in the same way you like Denver, but I could see Denver winning. You could see Buffalo winning. Feels like that's a coin flip. The game that I have the strongest opinion on right now, I think the Rams are going to win this game and win it fairly easily. I'm fascinated what you've got for us here on this one. Your opinion on Rams at the Bears, NFC Championship game berth on the line, Sunday at Soldier Field.
Yeah. Oh, man, this one's good. I honestly don't. Don't fact check me. I think the last time we talked was right on the eve of the Rams going on to Thursday Night Football against the Seahawks. It was right around then. And my whole spiel that day was Rams are going to win this game. Rams are going to win the NFC. Rams are going to win the Super Bowl. Just let's all take a deep breath. I had bet a lot of Rams futures at that point throughout the season. But to that point, that was my biggest stake. Nick, that was the last futures bet I made. I am naked Rams to win the Super Bowl right now. Any one other team wins, I'm just going to take a big fat red number on my futures portfolio. And so I'm nervous because what the Chicago Bears are doing doesn't feel outrageous to me. It doesn't feel fluky. It doesn't feel voodoo. It feels like really, really good coaching and really good scheme and really good in-game adjustments. And Ben Johnson, to me at least, is not getting anywhere close to the credit he deserves for getting this group of talent, which is not that good, to this stage of the playoffs. I guess I'm a Rams maximalist. I'm not going to stop betting them now, but I am very, very nervous about this matchup.
Who do you think is going to win? You can be nervous, but who do you think is going to win the game?
I think the Rams are going to win, and I sold them out to 5.5 at +109.
Good for you, buddy. Listen, the Bears can win. I think the Rams are a lot better than the Bears and the Packers.
I think the Rams
I can
are
be
a lot
wrong.
Better than the Bears.
I literally just detailed all the bets I got wrong on Wild Card Weekend. This is the one I would be. If the Bears won, I actually think I would be floored if the Bears won the game.
The reason the Bears could win is, again, Ben Johnson is coaching an outrageous...
And the Rams secondary sucks, which we can say also, right?
The Rams secondary is so bad. And then there's an intangible. This is the Rams' third road game in a row on the road. There's some wear and tear that comes along with playing this many road games. And I'm starting to get a little concerned that they're going to be fourth road game in a row on the road next week in Seattle. And I'm just going to be like, how did this happen? But I think ultimately the key for me in this matchup is absolutely the running game for the Rams. If Sean McVay comes in with any other plan besides we are getting 40 carries across Kyren Williams, Blake Corum, and Puka Nacua, any other game plan, I'm going to be cursing Sean McVay all night long, because this is the perfect opponent for you to run the ball down their throats. You should win time of possession 3-1 in this game. You absolutely should. Your run defense is good enough to stop their running attack. Your you should be able to put Caleb Williams in long down and distance, low probability of conversion third downs, and you should be able to matriculate the ball all day long against this Bears defense, which is very, very, very suspect, has no linebacking, has weak safety play, has no ability to really generate a substantial pass rush, and you have a huge advantage with your offensive line. The cold weather, to me, just fuels that fire more in terms of pushing the Rams in the direction that will be successful. I think the Rams walk this one in.
Drew Densick, the Whale Capper, with us here on the show on Twitter at @whale_capper. Just one thing. So the Rams did play home in Week 18, but this will be their fourth out of five road games coming up here. And if they advance the championship Sunday.
They weren't in Arizona?
Week 18, they won at home against Arizona. So they don't have the three straight, but this is still, no, all good. Still like a ton of road games in a short amount of time for the Los Angeles Rams. I'd like to hit you with two more here, maybe like 30 to 60 seconds per answer, and then we'll get you out of here. So as it stands right now, as people love this stuff, right? As far as who's going to win the Super Bowl, or really like any futures bet you like, could be Super Bowl MVP, whatever you think is good. And just to give this at BetMGM, the Seahawks are the Super Bowl favorite at 3-1. The Rams are up next plus 320. Buffalo plus 550. New England at plus 600. Denver, Houston, Chicago, and San Francisco follow from there. So this can be, if I gave you $100, who would you bet to win the Super Bowl? This could be some other market in the NFL. Any NFL futures bet that you could advocate right now for our listeners and viewers, whether it's for $5, $500, $5,000, whatever, in about a minute.
Okay, so I have Rams to win. I bet some exactas Rams over Patriots. I think that's still very, very live. If you said, has anything you've seen to this point changed your mind about what the Super Bowl is, I would say no. Rams over Patriots. I think the Rams most likely MVP is obviously Stafford, but he only makes up about 60-65% of the win probability because so much of it still could be taken by Puka. Even Devontae Adams, even though he looks pretty hurt. So I'm not gonna make a case for Devontae. There's probably a plus EV bet to be made on Puka at price, in my opinion. His matchup against the Patriots or against the Bills would be very, very favorable. His matchup against the Texans, less so, because Stingley, I have a ton of respect for. His matchup against the Broncos, all of a sudden, that turns into a real sketchy situation. I don't love Puka versus Patrick Surtain in terms of being able to create separation. So my gut says the Puka is a good bet for MVP. My gut says LA over New England is where we're still going here. If you have an inclination to bet New England to win the Super Bowl, Drake May's MVP price is very, very, very favorable. In my opinion, he should be 95% of the Patriots book. There's no other Patriot that's winning the MVP if the Patriots win the Super Bowl. You know, kind of think about that exercise. If you've not done this before, think about if and when Team X wins, how do we divide up the credit? And, and literally just kind of take their futures price, take the credit that they get, and see if that makes it a plus EV bet for a specific player to win the MVP. And for me, at least, that exercise points to Drake May and Puka. I'm not going to make a move in that market yet, just because I'm sitting pretty if the Rams ultimately get this done.
Last one for you here. Next hour on the show, I'm going to talk about the Thunder win last night over the San Antonio Spurs. We'll do a little Giannis. He's booing the crowd. I think they're... I don't know if they'll trade him prior to the deadline, but he won't be a Buck next year, in my estimation, at least. Anything, no. And this could be, Drew, like a specific game. This could be a futures bet, an award bet. Anything you like right now in the NBA in like a minute for our listeners and viewers?
NBA right now, futures, all comes down to one team. And we haven't talked about this. Sorry to break the news to you. But the Boston Celtics are a sleeping giant in the East. You may know this. I know you love the Knicks. I know that they, on paper right now, would be...
My response to this is illegal screen. My response will be illegal screen. Like Joe Mazzulla the other night when the Celtics lost. I'll tell you what, for a team that's as good as they are, they're doing a lot of bitching and moaning about the officiating recently.
That's
the Celtics
a great
are.
Point. That's a but great
look like,
point.
But look like, point. Dude, and I'll say this and I'll give you the floor back in a second. The thing about the Celtics that's been so crazy to me, and like obviously as we move out of football season, way more NBA coming up on the show, it's not apples to apples, right? Because like Jason Tatum's not Michael Jordan, and that's not an insult to Jason Tatum to say that. But this feels like a little bit when Jordan like retires the first time and Pippen the next year, 93-94, the Bulls would lose in the Eastern Conference semis to my Knicks. And Scottie Pippen plays like an MVP the next year without Jordan there. And I'm not saying Tatum's Jordan, but it feels like Jaylen Brown's made that leap. And the difference between that Bulls team and this Celtics team is that Jason Tatum might come back this season for Boston, whereas Michael Jordan didn't, right, for the Chicago Bulls. So please finish on the Celtics.
Yeah, no, that so the handicap, you basically said it. Jason Tatum might come back. The Celtics team have won enough games that they've set themselves up for a top three seed, which means we're talking about home first playoff round. We're talking they could get a top two seed at this point. It wouldn't shock me at all if Detroit slips up or if the Knicks ultimately just kind of settle into the third place groove. But Celtics for me very live to win the East. Just in general, like I think they match up well if Tatum does not come back. But there is 100% a world where the whispers turn into a roar as we get closer to the All-Star break. That Tatum is looking good. He's starting to practice. He's coming back in March. He's going to be game fit by May, right? Like there is certainly just that kind of conversation bubbling up. It's gonna nuke this price. This price is going to get halved, maybe a quartered. Like it is going to get obliterated if people really believe that Tatum is coming back. Because if you don't, do you remember last year's market? The Celtics were like legitimate heavy favorites to win the title, even though the Thunder were the power-rated best team by 3 points going into the playoffs. People still were like, well, the Celtics will figure it out, right? Like, if that team, you know, and obviously they don't have the bigs that they had last year, but if Tatum and Brown, with this supporting cast, ultimately looks like they could run through the East, people are going to adjust their numbers aggressively, and Celtics are going to get wildly short. And honestly, like, we might ultimately get the matchup we were promised from last year of Celtics versus the Thunder in the finals. And I don't know how I would price that if Tatum is fully fit and good to go, because he's going to have a lot less miles on the tires than the Thunder will have. I mean, you can kind of see the Thunder, when they're not playing well, it is almost entirely born out of fatigue, in my opinion. They look like they put a lot of effort on the table to get to this point. So, Celtics are a sleeping giant, in my opinion. I would bet them to win the East. I would take a position on them to win the title. And if you are trying to buy low on the Thunder, I think your market to key on that is the West, not the title.
Wow. And, I'll say this also as someone that's in on the Thunder to win the championship from before the season. I'm concerned about the three-point shooting for Oklahoma. Like, I think that's where you can kind of look at them and say, you know what, maybe the outside shooting, they could still fix it, but maybe it's not good enough. I'll tell you what, buddy. I have to be honest with you. For people that are watching the show right now, I will always start the show by saying, like, look how Drew's very handsome. He's got great hair. You're up early. Like, it's not your best look today. I appreciate you getting up early, but I mean, this is like it's that time of year, man. We got to get you outside of the sun a little bit. Me too. It's overcast here in New York.
No kidding.
Yeah, dude. Well, I mean, you're in Southern California, so not much to complain about. And I'll just say this for longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Like, we used to have what's called hard time breaks on the old show, right? Where, like, we could keep talking, but the show goes to break whether we want to or not. I loved this because this was like, we got to let this breathe a little bit with Drew. So if you're new to Drew, I'm guessing you loved it because I absolutely loved it. I think I'm a pretty good representation of the audience. Hit him up on social media, @whale_capper. You are the best, my man. We will do this again soon. Good luck with the bets this weekend.
Thanks as always for having me on, and best luck for the divisional round playoffs.
Yes, sir. The great guys. Listen, I'm a Knicks fan. Didn't love that. But you got to tell the truth. Boston's been unbelievable. And you do feel a little bit like Missoula and Jaylen Brown, kind of like letting the league office and the referees know, like, you better stop jobbing us in some of these games, because they have gotten jobbed a little bit recently, whether you like the Celtics or hate them. And I don't like them as a New Yorker. We have to tell the truth here on the show. Quick break. Coming up next, why the Philadelphia Eagles firing of offensive coordinator Kevin Petullo was necessary, but only a half measure to get the team back into Super Bowl contention. That's coming up next on Westwood One Sports.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Bad tip, incomplete. San Francisco takes over, looking to take away the upset.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
That's my bad there. Eating a protein bar coming back from break. That sounded like a brag. I didn't mean for it to be a brag. I am bragging a little bit. I work out. I eat protein bars. You know, that old chestnut. Bill asks, what brand? They don't sponsor me, but Quest Bars are the best protein bar because they have no sugar. It's just like straight up protein, which is great. They don't sponsor me. They didn't pay me to say that, but I eat Quest Bars basically every day. Anyway, I need to take a swig of water because my mouth was drier than the Sahara Desert. I'm going to take another one right now. And this is where, look, our guy Kenny Henderson, we'll hear from Kenny coming up shortly in Kenny's Corner. Kenny and I have got to get a little mind meld situation going on here. Where Kenny, if you see me struggling and I'm chewing, I need you to extend the music bed a little bit and not hit that rejoin so quickly. These are things that come with time. Just saying as we pull the curtain back a little bit here on what's happening. You Better You Bet on this Wednesday, Westwood One Sports. Love that interview. Kenny, come on the air for a second. Kenny, you did nothing wrong. You're good. You know what? Don't come on the air. We'll do Kenny's Corner next segment. But you did nothing wrong, Kenny. You are great. Love the interview with Drew Dinsick. I know our listeners and viewers, longtime listeners and viewers, love Drew as well. Breaking down all four games, divisional weekend. Boston Celtics in the East. I didn't necessarily love that. But lots of great comments in the YouTube chat in support of Drew and the show today. YouTube.com/@TheKostos. YouTube.com/@THEKOSTOS. Hit a couple of these now. Brian Van Gorder's mustache. Zach Taylor, the worst coach in the AFC North, and he's the only one that has stuck around. Only the Cincinnati Bengals. Our friend Mark, Bears fans have got to chill out. They're a great story, but they aren't ready for the big leagues. I actually agree with that, and I'm not trying to be a hater. I think the Rams will beat them and win by 7 or more on Sunday afternoon. Andy says Aaron Rodgers is a shell of what he was 5 or 6 years ago. He would have won that game on Monday night. I guess 5 years ago. Yeah, he was like the MVP, probably. Although maybe not with how well the Houston Texans defense played. I think Aaron Rodgers is basically done. Jay Wickers. Rodgers didn't make it to the Super Bowl very often. That is true. Rodgers has only been to one Super Bowl, 45, against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Dallas. He did win that game, but Rodgers has only been to one. Not unheard of for Rodgers to underperform in a playoff game. That is true. Can't disagree. And Zach, Whale Capper returning is glorious news. I agree. I loved that segment with the Whale Capper. Adam Lefko will join us next hour on You Better You Bet. So yesterday, the Philadelphia Eagles fired offensive coordinator Kevin Petullo. And this is something that absolutely had to be done. Going from Kellen Moore the previous year winning the Super Bowl to Kevin Petullo is like going from like a PlayStation 5 to Atari. You can't go from Expedition 33 to Pong. Like, it can't be what happens for the Philadelphia Eagles. And look, like, you can blame a lot of different people in Philadelphia for what happened last season with the offense, with the Eagles. And I think all of it's fair. You can say Nick Sirianni deserves blame. Of course he does. He's the one that put Petullo in that role, and he's the one that, like, stubbornly refused to move on from Petullo during the season. So yeah, you can blame the head coach. You can also blame the general manager, Howie Roseman, who saw what Nick Sirianni did in 23 with Brian Johnson, and then, like, they fire Brian Johnson, and then he's instrumental in Kellen Moore coming over, and then he let Sirianni promote this guy, and should have probably pushed Sirianni to fire him during the season, because it very clearly and obviously wasn't working for the Philadelphia Eagles. And you can also blame the players. It's the same players from last year. Like, minus Mekhi Becton on the offensive line. Same quarterback, same running back, basically the same offensive line. The same two receivers, the same third receiver, the same tight end. And how do you go from winning the Super Bowl, and it's not that they didn't win the Super Bowl this year, it's that they were pathetic and impotent on offense for most of the season. And I thought that the Niners defense would be Viagra for the impotent Eagles offense on Sunday at the Link. But little did I know. I mean, this was less Viagra for the Eagles offense and more whiskey for the Philadelphia Eagles offense, trying to fix their performance issues. Absolutely terrible. So yes, Kevin Petullo had to go, whether right, wrong, or indifferent, because the mob was angry. And I don't think you need to do this all the time in life or in sports, but sometimes, like, you have to satisfy the mob a little bit. You have to, right? Because if I were an Eagles fan, and I'm not, but if I were, and my team announced they were bringing Kevin Petullo back, you'd freak out. And you'd have every right to do so. I would love for someone to disagree with me on that. YouTube.com/@TheKostos. Let us know in the comments. 310-840-4910 on the phones, if you're so inclined. So yes, Petullo had to go. But that's just a half measure. I use this line a lot on the show and in my personal life. Mike Ehrmantraut, great character from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, has a famous monologue about half measures, basically saying, like, you can't do things halfway, half-assed. You either don't do it or you go all the way with it. Firing Kevin Petullo is necessary, but it's a half measure. The Eagles' culture on offense last year, the defense, I think, was with Vic Fangio and company, was pretty good. The offensive culture, rotten to the core. And I talked about this on Monday, but it bears repeating now with Petullo out. A.J. Brown's got to go. And I know, because I've gotten tweets from people. I've gotten Instagram messages from people. People in the Instagram comments on my videos, at the Kostos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S, on all social platforms, that people will say to me, they will say, Nick, well, what about the cap hit? $44 million in dead money. You can't trade A.J. Brown. Really? You can't? Now, A.J. Brown is 500 billion times the player Tua Tagovailoa is. I know they play different positions. They're not even comparable as football players. I know that. But this is kind of a similar deal where the Miami Dolphins have got to eat it with Tua because you can't move forward with this guy. And maybe they will, and maybe the next coach wants him as a bridge. Who knows? I think they got to buy him out. Let him go. In the same way that I think the Eagles need to eat it with A.J. Brown. And it is very rare to say that a team needs to spend upwards of $50 million to pay one of the best receivers in football to not play for that team. But you can't have this. With him and Jalen Hurts and the drama and how petulant he is and the cryptic posts on social media, you can get away with it if you're winning and you perform. But if you're dropping passes in the big moments like he did on Sunday, you can't have it. Now, A.J. Brown's going to be a stud wherever he plays next year. Maybe not in Philadelphia, but he goes somewhere else, he's going to be a monster. He's tremendous. I'm not disputing it. Would I like him on my favorite team, the Giants? Hell yeah. I'd love it. But in this spot, with this team, and that coach, and that quarterback, it is rotten. And you gotta cut the rot out. He's gotta go. And as you spin it forward with Philadelphia, as they look to get back to a Super Bowl or be in contention next year, Mike McDaniel needs to be on speed dial to run that offense. Here's a name for everybody. I don't think he's a good head coach. I'll tell you that from experience. How would you feel about Brian Daboll calling the plays for the Philadelphia Eagles? Something to think about. We'll get into Brian Daboll's old team, the New York Football Giants. Per Ian Rappaport, they may hire John Harbaugh today. I don't think that'll happen, but maybe. We'll get into that next hour on the show. But on the other side, Ken Sanity takes over. Kenny Henderson with some of the best sound from yesterday in the world of sports and life.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and the crew. Presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
All right, next hour on the show, we will talk some NBA. Thunder beat the Spurs last night. You won't believe what Giannis said to the crowd in Milwaukee. Adam Lefkoe will join us. Look forward to that. The the latest on John Harbaugh and the New York Football Giants, and my bets for tonight in the world of sports. For our listeners and viewers, I'll have a bet on the NBA tonight, but if you are betting on the NBA this season, here's something that'll take the pressure off your picks. How awesome does that sound already? With the NBA No Sweat Token, you don't need to sweat it if your bet doesn't hit. You'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $1,000. Download the BetMGM app, visit BetMGM.com today. Make it legendary, and please gamble responsibly. Our excellent engineer, Kenny Henderson, with us now for Kenny's Corner. Kenny, lay down the beat. Hit us with some great sound from yesterday. Yeah.
Yes, sir. And the big news yesterday in sports was the firing of Mike Tomlin. And the Ravens had their postseason presser. And owner Steve Bisciotti had this to say when he heard the news.
He did? Is it official?
That's what I keep hearing. So is he a candidate here?
Holy shit, Mike. Wouldn't that be awesome? Only if John takes the Pittsburgh job.
Only someone who's like extraordinarily rich and secure in himself can get away with saying that the way that Steve Bisciotti did yesterday. Bill and Tyler are with us. I want to bring our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman, on first. Bill, are you aware that about 19 times yesterday and today, you referred to him as Ravens owner Steve Biscotti, like the Italian cookie that you dunk into espresso?
I was not. I don't know if I don't know how to spell or if that was an autocorrect, but Biscotti's are pretty good. So
this was a verbal. You on the phone this morning, you called him Steve Biscotti about six times.
Did I?
Got
all
me
right.
Hungry
yeah,
for
no.
cookies.
I'm still adjusting to calls at 6:30 in the morning, Nick, so you'll have to forgive me.
So is our technical director, Tyler Morales. That does stand out, Tyler, as one of the notable sound bites that we played thus far this season on Kenny's Corner.
Yeah, I think you said it. These owners, I love how some of them just like don't care. Like he was talking about like cutting the salary cap like it was like nothing. And he was talking about like $50 million trying to move around. Like these guys, they have a lot of fun. It'd be a great job to have. But I thought that was an extraordinary press conference. And I guess we needed Lynn Jones there as well. Maybe we would have gotten a good comment from the owner as well.
It's like a Lynn. I got to tell you, I'm a Lynn Jones fan. Like that whole thing with Liam Cohen on Sunday was so ridiculous how mad people got about it. Bisciotti, by the way, also said, you know, Danny Parkins was on in the first hour of the show talking about how the McCaskey family are basically like Bears fans, like descendants of George Halas. Bisciotti said that his plan as he continues to age, he's not passing the team down to his kids because he thinks it's unhealthy for his family to own the team. He's going to sell the team. I thought that was great. Also got asked about Lamar Jackson and will Lamar have a sense of, or will Lamar have a say in who the next coach is? And he said, Lamar has a say, but Lamar has no power. I have all the power, was what he said. Like, he's He-Man, like a Castle Grayskull. Kenny, what else we got?
So Matt Ryan had his introductory presser as the president for the Falcons, and he had this to say about what he plans to do with his new role.
Not trying to call plays. I'm not trying to run your offense. I'm not trying to pull Philip Rivers and come back and play. I'm not doing any of those. I think most importantly, I'm trying to get the right person in here in both of those positions.
Okay. You know, I think it's like kind of like a kind of funny soundbite. I don't know. I think Matt, a little boring. Matty Ice, vanilla.
Isn't
vanilla
Matt
ice.
Ryan just boring?
Yeah, I just think Matt Ryan's. To be fair, I did like him on the NFL on CBS. Just, you know, we replace him. Maybe I think Tomlin's going to Fox, but just saying, a little better, a little more explosive, probably a little more entertaining. Kenny, can we sneak in one more piece of sound? I know we're running out of time.
I think we can. Here is James Harrison after the Steelers yet again losing in the playoffs.
What are we looking at right now, Joe? Nine year stretch? Not a single playoff win? Bro, last time we won a playoff game, 2000.
Was you
even on the team, Joe? You weren't even on the team, Joe.
No. Nope.
I was on the team. That's how long it's next been, year. Bro.
James Harrison, not happy. Bill, should I tell my James Harrison story about the Pro Bowl in like 2008 or whatever on the other side to start the hour?
Yeah, we need to get that in. Absolutely.
Okay,
James Harrison
I have
stories
a,
are always good.
This is I've got a great James Harrison story that I will tell for everyone to start next hour, final hour, power hour. Lefko will join us, all our bets coming up next on Westwood One Sports.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.